Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
If that line falls on the right, babe, not that Maggie's back in town. Look out, old Maggie is back.
Yeah, I am back.
On the fan, McMonagle here with you on this now Tuesday morning. We got Fleegs on the other side taking your calls at 888-808-1019. We got a lot to get to today. Things breaking right for the New York Giants. Little playoff baseball. The fallacies of the issues with the New York Yankees. You know that's my favorite subject, but we got to start again. We just heard from Aaron Glenn, and I was talking with Fleegs. And, you know, this Jet issue with the coach, right? And I'm listening all day, and everyone's killing him, right? Outside of maybe Sal, who thinks we're putting too much emphasis on the coach. I can't get over. I'm still having trouble coming to terms with what happened on Sunday out in London. And I was listening to Joe Beningo today, too. And he said something and echoed something that I said last night. And I've been thinking about all day today as the story came out, news broke, that Brian Callahan has been fired in Tennessee. He's an awful head coach. I think he did a terrible job there. And right now, Cam Ward, the number one overall pick, is in flux. And if you've looked at the last handful of number one picks, almost like all of the quarterbacks who've been drafted over, have been drafted number one, the last four of them, have all, now that with that you add Cam Ward to it, have lost their coach. Someone's been fired mid-season after year one. There has not been stability for a top quarterback taken in the NFL draft now, the last four quarterbacks to do it. And Brian Callahan just, you know, made that the fourth of four. And I'm looking at this coach today. And forget tanking for a second, because you know where I stand on tanking and what the Jets should do and what teams should do when they get to the dead part of their year. Forget that for a second, because that feels like it's going to happen anyway. It feels like they're going to lose these games anyway. But what's going to happen, and I talked about this a lot last night, and it's been on my mind, like, what else? What's the most important thing right now for the New York Jets? As we stare at the quarterback situation in Justin Fields, as we hear the coach tell us again today, there was some, I made mistakes, you just heard, oh, I wish I would have, you know, waited for 2 seconds left and then run a Hail Mary. Great. Great. That's your big, that is your big, I wish I could go back and replay that final play instead of like actually being aggressive that entire drive. Oh, I just wish I threw a Hail Mary. I mean, he should have. But that's what he comes away with. He also comes away with telling us that Justin Fields has played well this year, that he's done a lot of good things, and that it was just one bad game. This is the guy who brought Justin Fields here. This is the group, and I know I made a lot of it yesterday, that jettisoned Aaron Rodgers, the Hall of Famer, who is now going to cakewalk to a division title in the AFC North. And I know it's because of injuries and whatever else. It's been traditionally a very difficult division. He's going to cakewalk to it with Mike Tomlin and the Pittsburgh Steelers. You had to get rid of him. You just had to bring in Justin Fields. That was the guy they were targeting the whole time. There was no talk of anybody else. We might have had that talk. I spun the wheel every day. But ultimately, we know this guy went right to Justin Fields. He went right to Justin Fields. He's telling us he's played well this year, despite the fact that he can't throw the football. He can't throw it accurately. He can't throw it on time. They're not scheming a game around him. This is a coach that brought him in, an offensive coach that brought him in, and they can't even scheme the game around his talents. And at the end of this season, the Jets are going to be one of, if not the worst team in the NFL, and have less losses than almost any other team. And you know what that means. They are going to be at the top of the draft next year. Forget whether or not he should have run the Hail Mary at the end of the first half. Forget whether or not he handled that coaching situation as badly as he did at the end of the first half. Forget whether they should have run the football, the final play sets of the final drive of the game. Forget whether they faked a punt just to run the clock out. Forget all of the nonsense of all of the garbage that we have seen this entire year. Forget the culture building. Forget the accountability. Forget whether or not that they've stopped with the turnovers. They haven't created turnovers. The penalties are still there. Forget everything that has failed this coach. Forget everything that has continued from year to year to year, the same old Jets. Forget everything he's been unable to stop. Forget all of it, because that doesn't even matter anymore. Yes, he's been inept. Yes, that's part of the story and why you wonder if he should be the coach. But you are looking, and this is why I had a problem with bringing him in the first place. Because this coach, who again today covered up his mistakes outside of maybe a Hail Mary, again today is trying to justify the play of the quarterback, again today is talking the same he's spoken since he got here, and it's been a colossal failure in every way. But the point is, do you want the New York Jets to fall into the same category as the Tennessee Titans, as the Jacksonville Jaguars, as the Chicago Bears, who draft and make a decision on the most important, polarizing, difficult decision that an NFL organization has, and that is drafting your next future quarterback? It is the hardest position to scout. It's the hardest one to get right. It is, you can find him in the seventh round. You can find him in the second round. You have to know who your quarterback is, and you're going to draft him at the top of this draft, of a quarterback-heavy draft, or at least that's what we were told. We'll see how it comes come April after a full college season. Are the New York Jets in a position where they can allow a defensive-minded head coach whose first order of business was to jettison a Hall of Fame quarterback in favor of a quarterback who can't play the position? Is that where we want this New York Jet team to be come April, with this man, this team, who can't coach the quarterback, who can't scheme around for a quarterback's strengths, who wanted this quarterback, who has limited strengths? Is this the group that we want making that decision? I talked about it last night. It is everything. Look at the Giants right now. Because we could call Brian Daboll inept, and he was for the last 2 years. And we could say the same things that we said and are saying about this coach now. He doesn't know what he's doing. The offense looks terrible. He's supposed to be an offensive guru. This offense looks terrible. The quarterback play is awful. The defense is terrible. They give up. You know, there's no fight in them. All this, they have too many penalties. All the same things that bad teams do. All the same things that bad coaches do were there for Brian Daboll over the last 2 years, as they are right now for Aaron Glenn. The difference is, he's an offensive-minded head coach, and the second he got his quarterback, and again, it's a couple weeks, but look at the transformation of the entire organization. Tiki was talking about it today, how the quarterback position is supposed to be the position that uplifts you and uplifts the entire. You're supposed to have ultimate faith and confidence in this guy. This is the position that uplifts the whole team. And the minute Brian Daboll got his guy, that's what's happened. That's what's happened so far for Jackson Dart and the New York Giants. And we're going to get to them and how, believe it or not, at 2-4, with the way the Cowboys have played, with the way now they've got a win against the Eagles, the loss last night to Washington. Like, we are talking about a huge game against the Denver Broncos that could set them up to be real players in the NFC East. That's what we're going to be talking about today. The Giants are a win away. And then looking at a game in Philadelphia where you're talking about, if they win this Denver game, you're talking about a position where the Giants are right there to be a legitimate contender for the NFC East. Something that would have been crazy to start the season. Something that would have been beyond crazy after week one. And something that would have been flat out pure fiction after week three. And yet here we are. Why? Because an offensive-minded head coach was allowed to make a decision, was allowed to get his quarterback, and that's what changes the franchise. You want to change the Jets? You want to get past this same old, can change the quarterback, can change the team, can change the uniform, can change the coach, can change the facilities, can change Hofstra. It doesn't matter, right? The famous Beningo line, could change everything, it doesn't matter. That's not true outside of the young franchise quarterback. That's what changes franchises. And now that the season's over, and we're going to have a discussion whether or not tanking is right or what they should do or blah, blah, blah. Now that Garrett Wilson's going to be out for a few weeks with a knee injury, you're not looking at any wins. This season is dead. It's dead. There is one shining moment for this franchise now in the next year, and it's come April at the draft, and it's trying to find your franchise quarterback. And we see teams, we saw it again today in Tennessee, teams that don't have the right structure in place when they make that decision, it will haunt your franchise. It will haunt your franchise. You cannot get this wrong. And what about Aaron Glenn right now? What about Muji? What about this current structure that is leading the New York Jets? What about them tell you that you want them making that decision? That you want him coaching that quarterback? That you want him to be the coach who is in the war room when they make the decision and then is at the helm as they develop a young quarterback? What has he done to make you feel like that wouldn't be an out-and-out disaster? And that's all that matters now. And I don't know if he deserved to be a one-and-out. I don't know if he's coached poorly enough to deserve to be fired after 1 year. I don't know if he can learn and be better. Like, maybe he could be. Maybe it could be. And maybe this is a rookie coach making rookie coach mistakes. And all of the entire morning I spent yesterday railing about how incredibly incompetent that game was coached and how poorly the end of the first half was handled and not making the switch to Tyrod Taylor is unfathomable and all that stuff. And that might all be true. And those are all possible. Those are all things that he can learn from. That's an experience he can learn from and get better from. And if this was a normal circumstance, maybe you have the ability to allow him to learn. But we are seeing that coaches will ruin these quarterbacks. And you have got to have the right structure in place. You have got to have it lined up. You have got to have the right people. Are you going to allow a coach who not only is showing you incompetence, but is going to naturally be on the hot seat after one of the worst first-year tenures in Jets history? Because that's what it's going to be. It's going to be, for a franchise, believe it or not, over the last handful of years, prior to, Gase, had coaches that were successful year one. Right? Herm Edwards, successful year one. Mangini, successful year one. Rex Ryan, successful year one. Even Todd Bowles won 10 games year one. This is going to be one of the worst first years as a head coach for the New York Jets in recent history. They're going to lose a ton of games. They are going to be at the top of the draft. It is going to be an out-and-out disaster of a season. The seat under him is going to be on fire. Is that how you want to go into a situation where you are making the most important decision of the next 5 years for this franchise? Has he earned the right to be part of that decision-making when you tell me he wanted Justin Fields over Aaron Rodgers, that he's still defending Justin Fields' play, that he's unable to get a coach who could put a game plan together that best suits Justin Fields' needs and skill set? So that's the first question. Is he the coach that you want making that decision, part of that decision-making? And then the second point is this the coach that you want to foresee the beginnings of this young quarterback's career? And if so, do you want to have him have another failed season and then fire him mid-beginning of this young quarterback's career? And then you bring in a new coach and a new GM who have no connection to this quarterback, no belief in this quarterback, might not like this quarterback, and suddenly you are in the same situation that four other teams have found themselves in recent history. You do not want to be the team with a young quarterback that you believe was failed by the head coach, and now you're looking for someone else to step in and go take two on what is the most important decision the franchise will make. As we play out the rest of this year, and we're going to get to the Giants and a lot of their optimism right now, but as you play out the rest of the year with this Jet team that is going absolutely nowhere, that is 0-6, that the season is already over before it's done. The only question is going to be how many games do they lose and where do they end up in the draft and how does that set them up to draft a quarterback? That's it. That's all it's about. Unfortunately, that's it. It's not about building a winning culture. His team is probably freaking ready to give up on him after the decision-making last week that cost them a game on Sunday. Cost them a game. They had negative 10 passing yards. They fell 7 yards short of kicking a field goal to win the game. Think about that. He allowed a quarterback to throw for less, to have a passing attack that was a net of negative 10 yards. If it was negative 3 yards, they're kicking a game-winning field goal. We talked about it all yesterday morning. He showed no faith in the quarterback and no resolve to bench him. You're talking about a team that just lost its best offensive weapon for a few weeks, a team that has a quarterback who can't play the position, an offense who doesn't know how to scheme it in the slightest for this quarterback who can't play the position. A team that continues to make the same mistakes they've always made on a dead season at 0-6, looking at another miserable year without building any winning culture, any confidence, or anything else, because he's probably lost some of the players on the team, including the star wide receiver who's going to be held up for a couple weeks. There's one thing left in the next calendar year. There's one thing left. Who's drafting the quarterback? Who's developing the quarterback? Do you want to be the Tennessee Titans firing a coach mid-season? Is that what you want to be? Do you want to be the Chicago Bears and hope that the next Ben Johnson is waiting in the wings to take over for you with your quarterback? This is, unfortunately, there are times where it seems ridiculous to fire a coach after one. It seems there are times where it should be based on merit alone, and it should be based on whether or not how he's done the first year, or, you know, whatever the case may be. The timing for the New York Jets in the position they're in, when he made the decision to bring in this quarterback, he's a defensive-minded head coach. We have seen it fail. First picks, we talk about, why are you hung up on tanking? You get a quarterback, he fails. Yeah, you know why he fails? Because he comes into situations where they don't have the right structure in place. They don't have his next coach. They don't have the guy who's going to develop him. They don't have the right guy to handle him. That's the only question left for whether or not this coach should be back next year. That's it. Like, that is the question. Forget whether or not he's building a winning culture. Forget whether or not he can improve. Forget whether or not he can learn from the mistakes he's making now. Here's the question about Aaron Glenn. and next year with the New York Jets, there's one question. Is he the guy to pick the quarterback, or at least be part of the team that picks the quarterback? And is he the coach to help develop him? And the way he's handled the quarterback so far, his instinct on who to bring in to be the quarterback of this team, how it's gone down, the game plan they've given him, the way they're using his skill sets, the way he's handled the quarterback position in general, and not recognizing, he told you again today, he's not recognizing what he's saying because, yeah, he played well against Pittsburgh. You can't tell me Justin Fields has played well this year. Yesterday was particularly awful. He had a step back. He had much more than a step back. He was unplayable. And you continued to play him while telling us he's unplayable. That's it. There is one question. Is this the guy for the next future quarterback of the New York Jets? That's what Woody Johnson's going to have to answer, which is a scary thought. But that's it. Everything else is just noise. Everything else is a little bit of spice, a little bit of flavoring, a little bit of, you know, propping it up, looking at it from different angles. There's one angle. In April, they're going to be drafting a quarterback. We have seen team after team after team in that position not be equipped to make that decision. And the quarterbacks suffer for it, the franchises suffer for it, and the coach ultimately finds his way out. Do you want to be Tennessee? Or do you want to make the decision at the end of this year that you're bringing in somebody suited for that? And that's why it's connected to the Giants, because that's what they did with Brian Daboll. He was suited for this. He was suited for the structure change. He was suited for the future. He was suited to bring in a young quarterback and develop him. That's his strength. That's why I didn't want him fired. That's why I wanted him to stay here. Not because he's a great in-game coach. Not because he's building a winning culture. Not because his players play hard for him. Nothing other than they're going to have to draft a quarterback, and this is a guy to do it. This is a guy to bang the table and say, that's my guy. And then this is a guy, when he gets his guy, to coach his guy. That's what you need in this moment. It doesn't mean he's going to be the next great coach of the New York Giants, win 5 Super Bowls. I don't know. But I can tell you, the second he was able to get his guy and coach him, look at the difference. Look at the difference. Do you want to wait till year 2 for the New York Jets to say, look at the difference? I don't. 888-808-1019. Quick break. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Talking a little Jets football, a little Aaron Glenn. We'll get to the Giants and what's gone on around the rest of the NFC to put them in a position where, man, this game against the Broncos is as big a regular season game, I feel, that the Giants have played in a long freaking time. And then it'll be followed up, if they're able to win it, by, without question, the biggest regular season game they have played in forever. This is a huge game against the Broncos, team that did nothing against the Jets, that the Giants have an absolute chance to win, and a game that would change so much about how, if we haven't already felt the change for the New York Giants. But imagine this win. Imagine getting ready for a big game against Philly after already beating them 2 weeks ago, knowing that this division's up for grabs possibly. We'll get to that as well. We'll get to some of my thoughts on the baseball, because it's funny. It's funny how things work out in the postseason, because I've been told a whole lot of narratives about why the Yankees fail in the postseason and what exactly they do wrong that other teams do right, like the Blue Jays. They do things right, apparently, in the postseason, right? That's why they won that series. Yet, you know, it's all too much striking out. Well, the Mariners struck out 14 times. The Blue Jays struck out 5 times. And the Mariners hit home runs. And that's a problem typically in the postseason. So I'm very confused. And then the Brewers, who certainly do everything right, apparently they can't hit good pitching either. There are some things that just, I don't know. Some very funny things happening in the Major League playoffs.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
New York sports is more than a game. It's a lifestyle. WFAN is the only place where Yankees, Mets, Giants, and Jets fans come together and sound off. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always streaming on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn apps.
McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Let's get to your calls on the Jets. We'll open it up to the Giants because after watching Washington lose last night on a last-second field goal to the Bears, you got obviously Dallas losing to Carolina and the Giants beat the Eagles themselves. You're looking at a division with the New York Giants that honestly, I mean, they're if they play the way they've been playing, they go out and beat Denver and go to 3-4. You're talking about having a legit season. You're talking about legitimately getting excited about the idea of chasing down the Philadelphia Eagles and the Washington Commanders. Now, you've lost to both the Cowboys and the Commanders, but those were both road games. You still welcome them back into your division. You haven't lost. You still welcome back to your building, rather. You haven't lost a home divisional game yet. You beat the Eagles at home. You're 2-4. And let's be honest. Who's that good? The Falcons did just put a beating on Buffalo last night. Out west, there are three legitimate teams. So, I mean, it's not going to be easy. But if Washington looks like this and the Commanders are, you know, struggle a little bit and stub their toe, and I never thought they'd be that good. You could beat them at home. The Cowboys' defense is just god-awful. They have as many wins as the Giants do. I mean, this division's up for grabs. They turn around and win this game against Denver. 888-808-1019, but we're talking about the Jets, that awful game Sunday. This head coach, and whether or not he's the guy to lead the future of this franchise, because it's not about just wins and losses. It's not about whether or not he can improve. There's a major decision and then a major development process that's going to happen this year. That's the only question. Is he the guy for that choice and the development of that choice? That's the question. 888-808-1019. Jason in Waterbury. What's up, Jason?
Hey, Chris. What's going on, bro?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
Not much. Great to talk to you, man. I just got three things on the Jets, bro. First of all, listen, this could have all been avoided in 2018 if when they drafted Sam Darnold, they hired Mike McCarthy, and those guys would still be here right now.
Maybe.
Number two, I can't stand Brian Costello, and you know what? He's one of the guys that helped run Aaron Rodgers out of town this last offseason, and he's got a lot of – I know it's his job, but he's terrible at it, and all he wants to see is the Jets lose games anyway. He's got a lot of nerve to to ask about quarterbacks when the Jets had an all-time quarterback in this place the last 2 years, and he helped run them out of town. That's number two. And my third thing is, I don't want to hear Garrett Wilson run his mouth and talk about quarterback play or anything else when he's another guy who had Rodgers run out of here last year when 100 catches wasn't good enough for him because he's a big whiner. So I don't want to hear Garrett Wilson either. He's got no room to talk because he helped run Rodgers out of town too. And that's how much of a disgrace the Jets are. That, you know what, I like Glenn, and I love the fact that he's a Parcells guy, but to run an all-time legend, an all-time iconic quarterback who could have helped this franchise and uplifted them, and run him out of town is a disgrace. And Brian Costello, he's a disgrace,
okay,
bro.
You know what I mean? I don't agree with you on that one. Helped run him out of town? He had opinions. He wasn't in the room for that 22nd meeting where the coach got rid of him. Aaron Rodgers could have come back. Aaron Rodgers wasn't, you know, persona non grata in New York City. It wasn't that the fan base had suddenly turned completely against him where it would have never worked. There are a bunch of reporters who felt like Aaron Rodgers was a selfish guy who was hurting the team. I don't even remember if Costello was that heavy on that, but maybe he was. But sorry, that question that he asked is more than legitimate. And Brian Costello does a great job, and I promise you Brian Costello is not rooting for the team to lose. I promise you Brian Costello is not rooting for the team to lose. That was a perfectly reasonable... It had to be asked, that question. It had to be asked. And the way the coach handled it was ridiculous. It was ridiculous. Tony in Fairfield. What's up, Tony?
How are you? Great monologue on the Jets.
Thank you.
So listen, all they got to do is follow the New England Patriots model. Fired a legendary coach 2 years ago who didn't know how to draft. Fired a first-year coach who was horrible. Found their quarterback in the draft. Brought back the offensive coordinator who had been to 5 Super Bowls with Brady. Said the heck with roster building and spent money building up a defense. Got the right head coach and are now on the verge of being the number one seed in the AFC.
They are right there.
The big thing is it appears they have the right quarterback. I mean, this kid lifts the whole team.
Oh, yeah, no, May has been really, really good. He has played incredibly well. They had a huge win against Buffalo, who turned around and lost to, unbelievable, they lost to the Falcons in the manner in which they lost to him last night, coming off of the Patriot game. But yeah, I mean, they played well in New Orleans. May has played great. There's no doubt about it. He's played really well. He's playing like a top 10 quarterback in the NFL right now. They've built up the defense a little bit. The minute they got Gonzalez back, that defense really kind of changed back into what it was. But yeah,
you know,
I mean,
the problem is, you know, the old model of spending 2 or 3 years building a team and then finding a quarterback, the Jets tried that.
I agree. It doesn't work. Yeah, and you're right. Listen, they're another one. They had to fire their coach, Mayo, after year one, and you bring in Vrabel. Now, you can get lucky, right? You can get lucky. Ben Johnson in Chicago, it's early results, but the quarterback has played much better. The team's winning some games. Obviously, Vrabel is was a guaranteed lock of a head coach. He did an incredible job in Tennessee, and you knew him coming in would stabilize things. He's not an offensive mind, obviously, but he hires the right coach. You could develop the young kid. He's playing great. So when I say that, you know, you don't want to be in a position to have to fire the coach, you don't want to be. There have been examples where it's failed over and over again. Daniel Jones was failed by coaching hires and fires. Vrabel, you can get lucky and hire Vrabel. You can get lucky and hire one of the better offensive minds in the sport. You know, it's not a disaster, but they got to be behind the quarterback. They got to be with you. They got to believe in it too. Like, Ben Johnson doesn't come to Chicago if he doesn't believe in Caleb Williams. So the pick better be the right one, because the quarterback better show enough promise to warrant a top-notch offensive mind to want to come coach here, or to get that Vrabel or guaranteed head coach, a Harbaugh or whomever, a Mike Tomlin who might become available if this season goes down the tube somehow, or a John Harbaugh who might just feel like his time in Baltimore is over. Like, you want to get those coaches here to come and take on the New York Jets, you better be right on that pick. You better be right on that pick. Well, obviously it would be after next year, because we're talking about a second year of Glennon getting fired. But like, if something like that happens where, you know, Harbaugh next year decides to go, or Tomlin, like if one of those guys become available and be the next Jets head coach, you better make sure that quarterback's shown promise, because why would they come on and take on the New York Jets unless they felt they were in a position to win? So you got to make the pick be the right one, and then help develop them a little bit to just enough where you would show a young offensive mind that it's worth taking his first NFL job to go help that quarterback, or to have a stabilizing force like a Mike Vrabel want to come here and take on everything that comes with the New York Jets. Like, this is a huge decision, huge year. But yeah, you can get lucky. And the idea, I agree with you, the idea, the days of building a team and then finding the quarterback, where? It's not easy. It's not easy. Like, I'm watching highlights of the Lions right now on ESPN. The Lions got lucky because the Goff, and for whatever reason, you know, one of the better offensive-minded head coaches arguably right now in the history of the NFL, just they didn't mesh, it didn't work, and they were able to ship a number one overall pick to Detroit, and it kind of clicked with them. But for the most part, where are you getting? You want to go pay a lot of money for Kirk Cousins? You want to have a retread of Geno Smith? Like, it's not easy to find these quarterbacks in free agency. It's not easy to build the team and then find your quarterback. It's not. I mean, you could build the team to such a level that you just need some sort of quarterback play to win, right? We're seeing the other Patriots quarterback who just failed out in San Francisco, taking over for Brock Purdy, playing well, and they're winning games. But it's not easy. You have this. The quarterback is what changes everything. The Giants are a perfect example. The quarterback is what has changed everything. Jackson Dart has completely uplifted every aspect of that team, including the head coach. Including the head coach. And I'm just saying, Aaron Glenn, it's 6 weeks. Right, and this is my point in the open, because we yelled so much about it yesterday that I want to just be clear that I thought Sunday was particularly just an awful job of head coaching. I just thought Sunday was just ridiculously bad. Do I think he's that bad a head coach where Sunday is going to be a common theme? No, I don't. I think for whatever reason, the way the quarterback was playing, and that's, it's all linked with the quarterback, he chose that quarterback. Yeah, I mean, I don't know why he's showing such loyalty to him. It's a 2-year contract. It's a lottery ticket. Although he chose the quarterback, I don't think if he makes the decision to move on, which was obviously the right one, I don't think anybody's killing him for it. I don't think anyone's going to come back to him and say, hey, some maybe, but he's got to do what's right for the team. But he chose this quarterback. He brought him here. And it's become an out-and-out just disaster. Did you watch him play? He couldn't throw the football. Guys were open. He's holding the ball for 5-6 seconds. He's taking terrible sacks. He's late on every throw. It was the worst display of offense. I'm watching everybody say it. Orlovsky on ESPN, that's the worst offensive tape I've ever seen. Like, it's just like, it was a hideous performance offensively. And do I think he's that kind of coach? Do I think he will consistently blunder the end of first halves or make these things? No, he'll improve. These are kind of things you learn as you go. I would have thought he'd be better at it already, but I'm not saying you can't improve. And under different circumstances, if they did have a quarterback in here, if they did have someone stable, if they did, you know, I don't know, if he came in and took over, the Chargers, like Harbaugh did a couple years ago, and you've got the young quarterback who's shown the promise and you believe in him, or if he takes over the Jaguars and you've got a quarterback, he's shown some promise, you've already paid him. All right, terrible year one. Let's see what he could do in year two. But year two is going to be that decision year. That, like, this is why my plan, you know, not that I know all and I'm the be-all, end-all, but I would have kept Aaron Rodgers and tried to draft a quarterback last year, and have him learn under a year of Aaron Rodgers and then make that transition. Win some games with Aaron Rodgers, right? You'd be able to win some games with Aaron Rodgers. You'd be able to relax on being, you know, on top of the offense. Aaron Rodgers and your offensive coordinator could have handled that for you. You probably win some games. And hey, if it's terrible, no one's going to blame you for Aaron Rodgers. No one's going to sit here and go, oh my God, Glenn, how could you allow it? Like, it's Aaron Rodgers. You could play under the safety net of not being blamed because everybody would point fingers at Aaron Rodgers if you lost, but you'd probably win some games. You'd have a stabling offense. You would have a young kid waiting in the wings, learning from that Hall of Fame quarterback. Then you make that transition next year, and you've bought yourself a couple of years and not being a winning football team, and everybody still being on board with the coach. Instead, you let him pick his quarterback. It's a failure. You jettisoned a Hall of Fame quarterback who's going to win a division. The offense is putrid. The team looks exactly the same, and there's nobody else to blame but the coach. And now you're heading into the most important decision of the Jets' next 5 years, and it's hard to envision that this is the group to make that decision and develop that quarterback. It's just hard to envision it. With everything that's happened this year and everything that's gone on with Justin Fields, it is hard to envision Aaron, Glenn, and Muji being the team that drafts and develops this young quarterback. It's hard to envision. And if you ask me today, I don't think I want them making that decision. I don't think I want them here next year doing that. They've shown me nothing that gives me any faith at all that they're capable of that. And the last thing I want to do is fire the coach mid-year like Tennessee just did. It's the last thing I want to do is feel like now I've got to make a change in the second year. We've seen it hinder quarterback after quarterback after quarterback. It seems like, unfortunately for him, you want to bring in a new coach and a new GM who are going to make that decision, who are going to be behind it, who are going to be tied to it. Hopefully you have I would think you want to hire an offensive-minded head coach, and then the coach and the quarterback, that relationship is the NFL. Like right now, the coach-quarterback relationship is the NFL. That's how you win. Unless you're going to have like the aforementioned Vrabel, who's a great head coach, who's played in the league, who's had success, who's got buy-in, who knows how to hire the right coaches. Like, if you can get him, or you can get a Harbaugh, or if you can get a Tomlin, or if, I don't know, even Bill Belichick coming back. Like, if you can get that kind of stabilizing force, okay. Outside of that, it's about an offensive coach with a quarterback. Right? Like, I'm even worried for Washington. Cliff Kingsbury comes in. They've been great last year. This year they're 3-3. What happens next year to Jaden Daniels when he takes over the Jets head coaching job? When Cliff Kingsbury is the next head coach of the New York Jets and picks and develops his own quarterback, how's Daniels going to handle that? Changing offenses on these guys in the beginnings of their career sucks. Changing everything, changing the building, changing everything about the team in the second year of a young quarterback sucks. 888-808-1019. And I just don't know, and especially in the way he handled not even just the game, but the way he's handled the quarterback, the way he handled the media, and the way he came out today and still told you Justin Fields is playing well. He admitted Sunday was a disaster, but overall, no, I think he's done a lot of good things. Come on. I know you got to protect your players. Believe me, I know. I'm the Aaron Boone defender. I know you've got to protect your players. And I'm not saying you should come out and say Justin Fields sucks. But, I mean, come on. Come on.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer. First 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Put WFAN in your contact list. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Count on Sundays all season long with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
So during the break, if you don't know, we're on YouTube. You can catch me on the live stream, Keith and myself. We do it all morning long in the nights into the overnight. So you can catch us out on YouTube, be part of the chat. There is a troll there. He calls himself Hot Rod. There's many trolls because that's what the internet does. And I did what Jazz Chisholm did in the middle of the game. I had the audacity to yawn at 2:50 in the morning during a break. I apologize to everybody. And someone suggested I should get a Jolt Cola. Do you remember Jolt, Mike? Did you ever hear of Jolt Cola? Are you old enough?
I've heard of it, but I've never had one.
Yeah. When I was a kid, I remember Jolt Cola. And it was just like high caffeine. It had like a lightning bolt in the logo. It was Jolt Cola. I haven't seen it in forever. They still make it. I just did a quick Google search. You can buy Jolt right now. On Amazon, they have a website, Zero Sugar Jolt. Taste the legend. I haven't had it. I might have to order some Jolt Cola, especially if they have it sugar-free with zero calorie. I wonder, they're kind of promoting this as like an energy drink. I wonder if it's still the same, if they've changed it to kind of make it an energy drink. But yeah, I remember Jolt Cola. There was a deli right across the street from my house we used to go to all the time. And they had Jolt Cola. I miss Jolt. I miss those things. I was thinking, like, I was watching something on YouTube and a how many licks to the center of a Tootsie Pop with the owl came on as one of the commercials. Like, when's the last time you saw that commercial?
That's so funny because, like, some companies will just keep churning out new advertising campaigns. They'll update it, keep it fresh.
Yeah.
And then there are some that are like, listen, this is worth for 60 years.
I know.
Just keep throwing it out there.
But I just haven't seen it in a while. It's funny because I was thinking about that with a couple things, right? I've been saying for a while now, I miss the York Peppermint Patty commercials. Remember the York Patty? They bite into a York Peppermint Patty and suddenly they're going down the slopes, or they're like, you know, bobsledding, or they're doing something like, they would take one bite into a York Peppermint Patty and suddenly do a million things. What would you do for a Klondike bar? We haven't seen those commercials in forever. And I was just thinking to myself, because I had a joke that I did about Jersey Mike's. And I was laughing because I was like, Subway has everybody, right? There was a time period where Subway had everybody. Subway had Charles Barkley. Subway had Steph Curry, Tom Brady. Like, Subway had all of these. I'm talking after Jared, obviously. No, when they had all the major endorsements,
Happy Gilmore.
Well, I mean, we've seen the Happy Gilmore. The Shooter McGavin is now in the commercial, the most recent one, like that. But that's the last one I see. I felt like all of these guys were doing Subway commercials, and I joked. I was like, there's someone in a meeting Someone was in a meeting at Jersey Mike's, and said, you know, guys, we got to figure out how are we going to keep up with all these celebrity endorsements that Subway's having. How do we keep up with these guys? And someone like raised their hand and said, "I have an idea." Danny DeVito. Like, I want to be that guy in that meeting who said Danny DeVito because it works. But now I feel like I haven't seen a Subway commercial with a star in it in forever. Or I just feel like I haven't seen as many Subway commercials. The only one I see recently is the Happy Gilmore one. And they have more storefronts than any other fast food chain across the world. There are more Subways than McDonald's. There are more Subways than, you know, Wendy's. And yet I feel like there was a time where I couldn't watch 10 minutes of TV without seeing Steph Curry or Tom Brady or Charles Barkley or all these guys. And now I feel like I see, for every one Subway commercial, I see the Danny DeVito and now Eli Manning Jersey Mike's commercials. For every one Subway, I see 10 Jersey Mike's. These are the things I pick up on. These are the things I notice. I'll ask Marco this question. Here, Marco, come in. We're killing time.
Till 5 a.m.
That's you think I have no shame in my game. Do you have any memorable commercials that you feel like suddenly went away that you missed? Like, I was thinking the York Peppermint Patty commercial. Do you remember the York Peppermint Patty commercials? One bite into a York Peppermint Patty, and suddenly I'm going down the slopes. Or
Yeah, I do.
I also, you know, it's another one that I used to love that you don't see anymore. You would have to have 7 bowls of Raisin Bran to have the same number of whatever that's in one bowl of Totaled. Do you remember the one bowl of Totaled?
I do remember the Totaled commercials. Yeah. Yes, I do.
What would you do for a Klondike bar?
Yes. I think
Klondike bars in general are gone.
Really?
You know, it's when we used to hear commercials for all the time?
What?
Kit Kat. It had a famous jingle, too.
What would you do? Yeah, give
now
me a
just
break.
Gone.
Give me a break. Yeah, Doublemint Gum. When's the last time you saw a Doublemint Gum commercial?
Doublemint Gum, yeah.
But you're right. Mm-hmm. Give me a break. Break me off a piece of that Kit Kat bar. I haven't seen a Kit Kat bar commercial.
Butterfinger with Bart Simpson.
Yeah. No, nobody better lay a finger on my Butterfinger.
I used to like the Diet Pepsi with Ray Charles back in the day.
Sure.
That was a long time ago, I know.
Yeah, that's a long time ago now. Yeah. Where's the Beef?
The old lady for Wendy's, yes.
One of the ones I liked, too, was the canned gravy. And it's like the old couple, and the woman's like, this isn't gravy. If this is gravy, why is blah, 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 blah. And then the old man steps in behind her and goes, yeah, if this is real gravy, where's the lumps? And the woman turned to him, and she was all mad at him because, obviously, you know, he's saying her gravy has lumps in it.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
No, you don't remember
that? I don't know that one.
No, the gravy commercial? No, you don't remember that
one? That one, I don't know.
This all started with Jolt Cola. Do you remember Jolt? Like the high caffeine, high energy
soda? Do they still have that or no?
They still do. I looked it up. I haven't seen it in a store in forever. But
I think I only had that once.
They just happened to be a deli by me that carried it, so we had it every once in a while. But it was just like a high caffeinated.
Honestly, I didn't see the big deal.
I had it once.
Like, I thought it was supposed to be a big deal, but I was kind of like, yeah, what's the big deal?
It wasn't.
Was just bad sodas. But again, this was, whatever, 30 years ago. I don't remember last time.
It's been a long time. Joel Cole.
Yeah.
Have you also noticed less Subway commercials? It felt like a year ago.
Subway's had all kinds of problems. You haven't heard that?
Well, no. What Subway problems?
They had issues with, remember the whole $5 footlong?
Yeah.
Well, when it no longer was $5 and they couldn't sell it for $5, people were like, well, what the hell am I going to Subway for?
Yeah.
So they're,
sales. You would think they'd bump up the advertising.
I think the advertising went down because the sales went down. And I think Jersey Mike's has overtaken Subway.
I don't know if they have. No way. Subway has too many, like, actual storefronts, but
I'd have to look it up, but I feel like I saw this somewhere. Subway was hemorrhaging, and that's why they started with the fresh. And not the meat that was in, like, the counter.
In the tubs.
Because Jersey Mike's was slicing their own meat. No. So Subway had to try to do something.
Yeah. No, I said, I would love to have been a fly on the wall when there was a Jersey Mike's meeting somewhere. And they were like, guys, they got Tom Brady. Subway's got Tom Brady. They got Charles Barkley. They got Steph Curry. They got every one of these. What can we do to keep up in the advertising department? Mm-hmm. There's, like, the guy in the back who raises his hand.
Mm-hmm.
Ted, what do you think? Danny DeVito. Like, I wanted to be there when someone pitched Danny DeVito because it's brilliant.
It is brilliant.
It kept, and now, you know, yeah.
Now you add Eli Manning, and there you go.
Now you add Eli Manning, it's great. But yeah, I miss some of those old commercials. They were fun. Because I saw the owl with the Tootsie Pop. How many licks do you get to the bottom of the Tootsie Pop? I was watching a YouTube thing with my kids, and all of a sudden that came on as like one of the commercials in between. I was like, I haven't seen the owl take a bite after 3 licks in forever. That's been a long time.
No, I haven't seen the owl lick in a long time either. No, I think you pay more attention to commercials than I do.
I guess I'm getting that vibe.
I
just remember those are old time. You saw them a million times.
I mean, other than like the Canterbury Easter Bunny thing, like I don't remember a whole lot.
That's a good one. We haven't seen the Canterbury Easter Bunny in a long time.
Really? I feel like around Easter, that pops back up.
I feel like the Energizer Bunny. Even now that you mention, I haven't seen that many of the Energizer. You see it every once in a while, but not nearly the same. These are commercials that ran our lives, though. They were a constant.
Yeah. Again, didn't notice. You're not wrong. I just didn't care. How about that? Okay. I didn't notice because I didn't care.
Okay.
But now that you mention it, yes, there are a lot of these commercials that are gone. But I feel like that would be over time. I feel like we move forward.
Yeah, no, the York Peppermint Patty and some of those have been a
long
time.
That should come back. I like that one.
You like the York Peppermint Patty?
I did like the York Peppermint
Patty. Yeah, they were okay.
No, I meant the commercials. I'm not a big...
Oh, no, the commercials.
Yeah. My son, my oldest, loves the peppermint patties. He thinks those, he's a big
mint
guy.
The only peppermint now, the thin mint Girl Scout cookies kind of have that minty kind of flavor. They're good. I don't like the... Was it coconut? I don't even know what was in it.
I don't know if that's coconut. I don't know. But I didn't even realize they still made them until my oldest started. He loves those things.
Really?
Yeah. When he gets Halloween's coming up, if he gets a York, that's a big deal for
him. I don't even know.
Loves that stuff.
And of course, I don't know if you've seen the prices on the Halloween candy.
You know, I didn't look at it because I didn't buy. I'll be fair. I haven't bought Halloween candy in a long time.
No?
I'm kind of like at the end of a dead end. Nobody comes to me.
Nobody comes to you.
Well, because it's almost a waste of time.
I mean, you know, we make sure we're not home and we turn all the lights off, but nobody comes.
Well, that's true, too. Yeah. But at the same time, I mean, like, if you're a kid, you're going to go to the end of, there's, six houses on my block, and I'm at the end of it. Yeah. It's a waste of your time.
I hear you.
So, you know, you might as well keep going around the neighborhood. Like, what's the point of coming down my street? Yeah. And I don't think they don't go down my street. Now, granted, I'm never home, but I don't think they do.
All right, well, thank you. I just wanted a little... You know, back and forth there about the commercials.
Well, I hope I killed enough time for you.
Yeah, I mean,
tried. I was just unaware of...
It was satisfactory. I leave the conversation, I suppose, satisfied. Not overly happy with it, not disappointed with it. Kind of, you know, Goldilocks right in the middle.
I got to tell you, I'll take it.
Okay.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.